Listen, I want to go ahead and turn things right over to the folks who are going to be taking care of worship today. But just in case there's somebody here who this is your first time here, I'm Reverend Chris Pennington, the senior pastor at Aldersgate. It's a great privilege to serve here. Today we are celebrating the Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry, and they're with us. So I'm going to turn it right over to Mr. Chris Burkett, and he will take care of the welcome and the announcements and everything. Great to see all of you here.
Hello, welcome. So I have a couple announcements that I'm very excited to tell you about today. The first is about an upcoming sermon series, which will start next week, right here at this time. And that is called Our Father's World. And it is going to be a three-week series that talks about why we care about our, God's creation and how we can care about God's creation, plus much, much more. And it looks like going along with that, there's actually, I failed to mention this earlier, but I see that there is next week, there's going to be some work going on, gardening type work out around the church here on Sunday, April 14th. And so if you would like to help pulling some weeds and doing some other beautification of our grounds, please plan to stay after the service or contact Joanne Smeltz to get started with that. On Friday, April 12th, our chancel choir is going to be singing God Bless America at the Wilmington Blue Rocks season opener, and that's down at Frawley Stadium at 7 o'clock. So if you like baseball and you like our choir, come on out to the game and you will see both. The next thing I have is our rummage sale. The first thing is thank you to everyone who donated stuff, bought stuff, organized stuff, helped move stuff, did anything whatsoever to volunteer for this event. It was a huge success. Thank you very much. I have a preliminary total that I can announce, and that is that this year we raised $21,986.20. So thank you. That's over a $3,000 increase from last year, so great work. There will be a potluck dinner this Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. here at the church for anyone who had anything to do with that sale, volunteered. Please come 5:30, bring a dish to pass, and we'll have a time of fellowship and together and reflection on that event. There also, if you were here, you may have noticed we did not have a silent auction yesterday, which is normally a part of the rummage sale. We decided to make a change to that, and this year we're going to have a separate silent auction event, and right now it is scheduled for October 4, so please mark your calendars. I don't have many more details today, but I'm sure you will see plenty, but for now, mark off October 4 on your calendar and plan to be here to support that event. The last thing I have is I would like you to please welcome the Wesley Foundation here to lead our service today. The Wesley Foundations are the United Methodist presence at our colleges and university campuses across the country. We happen to have one here right in our backyard at the University of Delaware. So this is the Wesley Foundation at the University of Delaware. And it's a ministry that is supported by the Peninsula Delaware Conference. We have met and many people who donate, time and their talents to help with this ministry. Aldersgate has been a great supporter of this ministry over the years. We have several current board members. We have some past board members. I'm a current board member. Our Hannah Circle has been very generous in making exam week survival bags as part of their Good Friday service project for the last few years. And this church also welcomed this same Wesley Foundation group here about 5 years ago to lead a service as well. And we're very excited to have them back. So if at the end of the service, if you do have any questions or want to learn more about the Wesley Foundation, we have several students up here, several down in the front row. You can find myself, Brian Merritt, and some other people to ask questions. We'd be glad to help you, learn more about this organization. I think it's great. I'm an alumni of it, and I am very excited to turn it over. So let's go. Welcome.
All I'm sorry, just a couple of final announcements. I tried to get Chris's attention. Saturday on April 20th at 2 o'clock, we invite each of you to come down the road to Brandywine Valley Baptist Church as the chancel choir here at Aldersgate and the instrumentalists here, the Aldersgate Brass, participate in the United Choirs of North Wilmington's Hymn Sing. 2 o'clock Saturday the 20th. The United Choirs are five churches here in North Wilmington that have combined, of which Aldersgate is a member. We look forward to having you there with us. It is free, 2 o'clock Saturday the 20th. And then Sunday the 28th of April, the final Sunday of this month, your chancel choir will present its spring concert here as part of our Arts at Aldersgate series. We're doing the Fourier Requiem along with other works with professional orchestra and soloists. We invite you to come as well. That is free, and we want as many people as possible to spread the word out. So if you have friends, family, neighbors, please invite them along with you. Come here at 7 p.m. on Sunday the 28th of this month. Now, I think we should get on with worship. Welcome.
Stand and join me in the call to worship. Behold God in the heavens, stretched out like a tent. Hear God's voice in the winds, whispering words of life and love. Witness God's glory in the fire and flame, dancing colors of orange and red. Take refuge in God on the mountains, silence strong and immovable. Rest in the wisdom of God, hidden in the clouds above the seas below. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless God's holy name.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of majesty and might, blow through this place like a mighty wind. Inspire us with your presence. Come us with your love, that we may be your people, serving others with care and compassion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pass peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 through 7, and then 34 to 41. And can be found on page 458 of your pew Bible. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is it that darkness counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that the flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning so that they may go and say to you, here are we? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds or can tilt the water skins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clouds cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of a young lion? When they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert, who provides for the raven its prey? And when the young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? The Spirit of God has been present in the reading and hearing of these words. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel reading this morning. The gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to become angry with James and John. So Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not us among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Thanks be to God for the hearing of this word today.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Rick Sullivan. I am the Vice President of Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry. I am a senior, three-language major studying Italian, Chinese, and Arabic. Next year, I will be attending Duke Divinity School. Please pray with me. Dear God, I pray that the words that I have to say and the thoughts of all that are here today may be filled with your spirit. You are the rock that carries us through the challenges of life. You are the redeemer that gives us the opportunity to experience new joys each and every day. Help us to remember that you are with us through the good and the bad. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Wesley Foundation left for our annual spring break mission trip. This year, we went down to Crisfield, Maryland. Because of where Crisfield is, right on the bay, the city suffered a lot from flooding during Hurricane Sandy. The community of Crisfield is still waiting for help in a lot of cases. We assisted several families that were not able to live in their homes because of the damage the storm had done to them. The first day we were in Crisfield, one group replaced a bathroom floor so that, as one person said, we wouldn't be able to look through the hole in the floor and see as the raccoons wandered by. The same day, another group started a week-long renovation on a house that included crawling under the house and replacing the insulation that had been dampened by the storm. They then replaced several pieces of flooring in the house and put up new drywall. In a third house, we tore up the floor so that it could then be replaced by a following group. Can you imagine the questions that these families must have asked themselves and God as they watched the water come into their house? As they watched the water seep in underneath the floor and dampen the carpet? As they watched the water leak over the bottom sill of their first floor windows? As they watched as forces of nature invaded their homes? Probably some of their questions would have sounded a lot like Job's. This chapter of Job begins, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." I don't hear God giving Job a real answer in his speech. Instead, it sounds like God has lost God's patience with Job. God says, "Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare before me." When God says this, God is basically telling Job to stop acting like a baby and explain himself. What does God think that Job has to explain? Maybe God wants to know why he can't trust in God's will. Could God expect Job to explain the conversation that he had a few chapters earlier with his friends about God? No matter what God is expecting Job to explain, how does God asking for an explanation answer Job's question? Is it possible to answer a question with a question? Maybe that's what God does to Job's question. God uses this series of questions to show Job how little he knows. God shows Job that he does not know anything about God's creation or about the ways of God. How can Job question God when he does not know anything about how the universe works or how God works? Job's only option is to worship and to trust in God. He must know that he is God's creation. Maybe he could even be a little thankful for that. I think it's pretty clear that God does not give Job a direct answer. Instead, God forces Job to think. Job is forced to use his brain, the brain that God gave him, in order to understand what God is saying to him. God makes the point that God's actions are mysterious. God's actions cannot be understood by humanity. God makes the point that God does not order the universe in a simplistic and mechanical way. God makes the point that Job is not the center of creation. And if Job is not the center of creation, then we aren't the center of creation either. God's actions are mysterious and impossible for humanity to understand. God laid the foundation of the earth. God explains his role as the creator of all things to Job. God makes it clear that when Job and his friends were talking and they said they understood God's role in the universe, they had barely scratched the surface. No one can know all of God's movements in the universe. Is God responsible for everything? I don't think so. I don't believe that God is responsible for the evil that exists in the world or the bad things that happen. I don't believe that these things are part of God's plan. What I do believe is that God can take these situations and use them in the best way possible. This may not mean that what we want to happen will happen. Instead, God can take hold of the situation and use it to further God's will. God does not order the universe in a simplistic and mechanical way. When God answers Job, God talks about all of the things in the universe that God has taken a personal hand in. God definitely has a deep passion for creation. God is the creator, an artist. And like any artist will tell you, when you put as much of yourself into your creation as God has, it is not simple. Even when it may appear simple, the thought and the care that went into making it is not. Similarly, while I know that it is possible for someone to take joy in a mechanical creation, it seems to me that there is too much art in creation for it to be mechanical. There are too many parts of creation that seem to be there only for the joy instead of to serve a purpose. Think about rainbows, sunsets, the beauty of birdsong. Job is not the center of creation. Because Job is not the center of creation, we can assume that we aren't either. Take a moment and let that sink in. We are not the center of creation. I'm not, and neither are you. The world does not always function in a way that we think is fair, right, or just. Despite what has happened to Job, despite everything that he suffered, the world never stopped spinning. The sun rose and the sun set. The moon waxed and the moon waned. More importantly than not being the center of creation, the world did not revolve around Job's idea of what was fair or what was unfair. If he had stopped and thought about it, he might have even realized that the world had been unfair in his favor. Just as the world did not stop spinning when Job suffered, it does not stop spinning when we suffer either. This may sound rough, but I think that it is actually a gift from God. If we weren't forced to move on, I think we might get stuck on ourselves. We might never move forward. When God speaks to us out of the whirlwind, we are reminded that God is still standing by our side. We are reminded that there is still hope for the future. What is God's love and grace if it is not hope? God is present with Job, and Job realizes this once he starts to pay attention. This is the most basic spiritual discipline, but it is often overlooked. People can get caught up in the idea that prayer is necessary, or they might think that they need to read their Bible more, or maybe they think that they don't give enough. These ideas become tied up with the way that they become closer to God. But instead, the most important spiritual discipline is just learning to pay attention. It is the foundation for the rest of the spiritual disciplines that we can learn to practice. God's presence is the primary mercy that God offers to us. All of the rest of these disciplines are ways that we can remember or experience God's presence in our lives. When we hear the statement of faith that Wesley students came up with on our retreat in the fall, we will hear about the privilege of prayer. The privilege involves not only talking to God, but also being considered worthy of God to receive a response. Sometimes we need to remember that the relationship is not just about talking to God, but also about listening to God's response. In order to feel God's presence in our lives, We must both talk and listen. No one but God knows us well enough to tell us how we should pay attention. No one but God knows how God will reach out to us to remind us of God's presence. But one thing that is clear is that we can only get better at sensing God's presence through practice, or, if you prefer, discipline. Then we will be more likely to hear what God is whispering to us during the whirlwinds of life. How do you define a whirlwind? A whirlwind is probably not the calm and peaceful parts of life that most people look forward to. Instead, a whirlwind is probably the parts of life that we would all like to avoid. These are the parts of life where we feel like we are buffeted by extreme winds from all sides. These are the parts of life when it may seem like God is farthest away from us. And yet, when is it that God speaks to Job? It is exactly at this part of his life that God speaks to him. Job faces a whirlwind. Not only the whirlwind that God speaks from, but also the figurative whirlwind of his life. The winds of life have taken all of the things he finds joy in away from him. Things including his family, his wealth, and even his health. And yet, this is when he finally hears God's voice. When do you think people most often hear God? Do you think people hear God in joyful moments, during their celebrations? Or do you think that people tend to hear God more often in times of suffering and pain? Think about Job. He does not hear God's voice when things are good. Job chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. In other words, his life was good. He did everything right. And yet, Job did not hear any response from God until everything had gone down the drain. He didn't hear a response from God because he didn't pay attention, not because God wasn't trying to talk to him. God speaks out of a whirlwind. Job probably had to listen pretty hard to hear God over the wind. When Job questions God, when he most needs to hear from God, is when he finally listens to hear God's response. This does not mean that God never speaks to us in the good times. It just means that as we are God's creation, God knows when we most need to hear God's voice. God knows that when we are in pain is when we most need to hear him speak to us. Therefore, God answers this prayer, whether we know ourselves well enough to voice it or not. When we are suffering, God remembers the pain that Jesus suffered. Jesus took this pain upon himself so that we would not have to undergo it for ourselves. This pain God underwent shows us how much God loves us and how much God's grace means to us. There is no greater pain than the loss of a child, and yet this is what God undergoes for us. There is no greater pain than giving all that you have and knowing that it will never be fully appreciated. This is what God does for us. God is fully aware of what it means to suffer. God is fully aware of what it means to be broken. God knows that we are not whole and that it is only through God's help that we have any hope of becoming whole. And yet God loves us anyway. What does this mean for us? I'm going to steal a line from the Shack. God is especially fond of you. God is especially fond of me. God is especially fond of the person on this planet whom I like the least, and everyone on the planet who I have never met. We must remember that as great as we think we are on our best days, God is greater still. And because God is so vastly great, we are not able to understand everything that God does in the world. This includes the things that God does in those moments that cause us to suffer, in those moments that cause us or others pain. God is still working in all of them. even though God may wish they didn't happen. Finally, we must remember that creation is not simple and mechanical. Everywhere that you look, you can find the complexity with which God gifted us. Everywhere you look, you can see the warm touch of God's artistic hand. There is nothing cold and mechanical about creation until we choose to see it that way. What are we called to do? We are called to pay attention. If we listen for God's voice, we will always hear it when we need it. God is not going to leave us hanging. That is not to say that we will hear God's voice just because we think we need it. Instead, we will hear God's voice when we actually need it. And we will not only need it when we suffer, so don't worry about that. God takes joy in our times of happiness and content just as we do. If we learn to pay attention, we will probably even begin to hear God's voice cheering along with us as we grow to be more and more God's creation. I don't know about you, but I think there is a lot to be said for Job that he knew he could yell at God and that God could take it. Or maybe he just didn't care anymore. But either way, he found out that God was able to take his shouting and his questions. God could take his discontent without disappearing or turning away. That is what this passage really shows us, the great grace that God offers to us. This is the grace of God's presence by our side through everything, whether it is fantastic, good, indifferent, bad, or ugly. That is what we ought to keep in mind every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So in the fall, our group traveled to Camp Acomith for our fall retreat. And on that retreat, we focused on what it means to belong as a group and what it means to belong on campus, what it means to behave as a group and on campus, and then what we believe. And from that discussion on what we believe came this statement of faith. So I ask you now to turn to your bulletin and join me in our Wesley Statement of Faith. We are the Wesley Foundation. As a community of university students, we believe together God is the creator of all things, who through love gives us the privilege of prayer. Jesus lived among us, blameless and without sin, yet he died for our sins and was raised in order to live on as our Savior and our friend. The Holy Spirit surrounds and fills everyone and everything to provide comfort and guidance. We accept everyone and turn away no one. We are friends. We are neighbors. We are believers. We are family. We are Wesley. I ask you now to rise and join in our hymn. Please join me in our prayer of confession.
We are so sure of ourselves, O God. In the midst of our suffering, we wonder how it could happen to us. We wonder why you allowed it to happen at all. How easily we forget that Job was blameless in your sight, yet found himself in the path of a tornado. How quickly we look for answers to questions beyond our ability to comprehend. How often we darken counsel with words of accusations without wisdom. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we seek to sit at your right hand rather than accepting the role of your servant. Forgive us when we look for comfort and ease in your cup and in your baptism. Answer us with your whirlwind once more. Teach us that suffering is not seen to punish, but that through suffering we may better understand and heal the pain of others. Christ, our High Priest, guides us back to the path of walking with God and serving our neighbor. In the name of Christ, we are all forgiven. We will be with God in paradise. Please be seated. This earth has been given to us by God, our Creator. The gifts of our lives are blessings to be shared. Let us share our gifts as we reflect on the ways in which we can serve and care for others and for this earth.
Dear friends, you're invited to be seated. Before we begin the great Thanksgiving, I just want to take a moment to introduce to all of you the Reverend Mary Haggard. She serves as the campus pastor. She works out of Newark United Methodist Church. Did I say that right, campus pastor? Okay, got that right. Mark that one down, guys. Mary, however, also, this year at our annual conference, will be one of the people who will be ordained. And so if we may take a moment and affirm her. Mary, on behalf of Aldersgate, it's a great pleasure to have you with us. And for me personally, it's a wonderful privilege to have you with me. Friends, we're going to be using the Great Thanksgiving that is found on page 9 in your hymnals. And so we invite you to follow along. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
And a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. It's on.
When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread. We'll be doubly blessed. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, his friends, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, his friends, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for many and for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, here in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Dear friends, in the United Methodist Church, we have an open communion table. And what that simply means is that if your heart is seeking a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, this place is for you. It is welcome, and we want you to come forward. We will do it by way of intention, so you'll receive a piece of bread, which you'll then dip into the cup. There'll be a serving spot here at the center or at the rails. So feel free to come and kneel if you like, or come to the center and receive. Also, if you have a gluten-free diet, we've got you covered with gluten-free wafers and water. So just indicate that as you come forward that you'll be having that. May we have our communion stewards come out. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn today is number 307. Let us stand together as we sing the Easter song, Christ is Risen.
Bless us with your power, O God.
Power to serve and make a difference in our world.
Bless us with your love, beloved Son.
The love that heals all wounds and brings comfort to the afflicted.
Bless us with your glory, great Spirit.
The glory of lives filled with purpose. The glory of lives touched by grace.
Go forth to serve and to love.
Go forward as loving children of God.
Shalom.